Do you need help with your journey following Jesus? Has your Bible reading brought up some interesting questions?
I need a prayer request.
Is I've heard pastors talk about you can't get to heaven just with good deeds.
I was just wondering what you guys think. Is there a correlation between the seventh trumpet and Revelations as the last trumpet, or is he talking about some other trumpet?
Finally, a place to get answers. We're ready to take your prayer request and answer your Bible questions. Call in at 303-690-3000. Let's join Calvary Live right now.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Calvary Live. Great to be with you today. My name is Josh Sorensen, and one of the assistant pastors here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. Also the Friday host of Calvary Live, and we are live here in the Grace FM studios, Friday, December 8th. And we were just listening to Christmas music a moment ago here on Grace FM, so I don't think it's too early to say Merry Christmas. I know there could be some debate. Some people say you can't say that until it's Christmas Eve or the week of Christmas. I tend to think once we get into December, but I would even say even those last few days of November, I think it's okay after Thanksgiving at least to be able to say Merry Christmas. So Merry Christmas to all of you guys listening. Let's take in this whole season and just enjoy it for what it is. I love in our church, we have Christmas music now playing everywhere. It's all, of course, worship related and just setting our hearts and our thoughts on the real meaning of Christmas. And so devotions and just so much good stuff happening in this season. Obviously, there's a lot of difficult things happening as well for many people in this season. And I do want to just give a word of encouragement to you, if that is you, moving through the month of December, finding yourself struggling rather than being overwhelmed with joy. But let me just go ahead and introduce again the show. Perhaps you are listening for the first time. Again, this is Calvary Live, and we are coming to you on over 100 signals, I should say, in 26 different states right now, coming to you live. Of course, some of you, if you're listening on any other station outside of Grace FM or Radio by Grace, then you are listening to this on a week delay. But that's okay, because we still welcome you to call in, to give us text messages about questions that you may have regarding your own personal walk with the Lord, perhaps where you are right now in the Word, or some biblical or theological questions you've been kind of wrestling through. Again, I think it's safe to say, if you've listened to the show long enough, we don't always have all the answers for you. But what we do have is the Word of God, and we will do our best, whether it's live here on the air or after the air, to make sure that we help you and equip you and resource you to find the answers to every single one of your questions. And so it's our joy to do that. It's also a joy to be here to pray with you. So if you are carrying something today or this week, it's just been a tough week, perhaps illness or financial difficulty or just struggling in a variety of ways, we are here and available to pray for you today, and we would be honored to do that. So if you, again, are a regular listener to the show, you know the deal, what the show's about. But again, if you're listening for the first time, perhaps driving in your car, you happen to stumble across the radio station, and here we are, it's no mistake that you are listening right now. And I believe it's a perfect opportunity for this next hour for us to connect. And the whole heart behind the show is for you to call in and to ask your questions and to share your prayer requests. But it's really, just as pastors, it's our desire as well to want to minister to you. And so we've got our producer, Kevin, in the other side of the studios today, in the other room, I should say, and we both just prayed that the Lord would take this next hour and minister to those who he wants to minister to. So if you're listening and you need ministry and you could use prayer, then please give us a call. Don't miss out on this opportunity for the Lord to do what he wants to do, which is to minister to your heart. Again, there's very little from a human end of things that we can do, other than certainly we can be here and pray for you, and that's what we will do. But there's power in prayer. There's supernatural power. God is good to listen, to incline his ear to us, and then to move as we pray together. So let me go ahead and give out the number to give us a call, or the text line if you'd prefer to text us as well. So to give us a call to be live on the air, again, whether you're listening on the Grace FM or Radio by Grace Network or the other stations that are on a week delay, the number is live right now, 303-690-3000. 303-690-3000. Give us a call. We also have a text line 24 hours a day, 7 days a week available to you. So if you'd prefer to text in your prayer request, text in your question, you can do that. 720-336-0897. 720-336-0897. So what we will do is we will go first to any of the calls that come in and do our best to answer your questions, do our best, of course, to pray with you. And then as we get to the text messages that come in, we'll respond to those. The great news about the text line is that it is available for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to text in your prayer requests. So feel free to take that number again, 720-336-0897, and text in any prayer request at any time outside of the show as well. And we are happy to pray for you, and we will take your prayer request and pass it down to a number of prayer ministries here at Calvary Church, and you are guaranteed that you will be personally prayed for when you text in your prayer request. But because we have a live call-in show, we want to encourage you guys to give us a call now and take this opportunity, because not only will your prayer request be a blessing, no doubt, to you and to me as we get to pray together, but to those that are listening as well. I'm just reminded there's so many others that are walking through similar difficulties or similar paths or perhaps have similar prayer requests that will connect as we get to pray with one another on the air. Same thing with a question you may ask. No question is a dumb question. So perhaps you're thinking through something that you may think, I don't know, that sounds like such a basic question. I don't know if I should ask that on the air. Listen, we are here to literally just to be able to minister and serve you. So don't ever feel that there's a dumb question. There's no such thing. If it's going to be a question that's going to help you in your walk with Jesus, then that's what we want to be available for you. So again, the number to call in here, 303-690-3000, 303-690-3000. Our first question coming to us by way of text: can you explain total depravity? And is that something non-Calvinists believe in? Can you explain total depravity? And is that something non-Calvinists believe in? So the answer is there's that those two words. Total depravity is a belief, a phrase that is used to summarize what the Bible teaches about the spiritual condition of fallen man. And so, of course, we know the Bible teaches we all have sinned. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We know that total depravity, again, is the culmination of all the communication and all the teaching in Scripture regarding our sinful nature. Isaiah 64:6 says that even our righteous acts are like filthy rags. So we are not just sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. That is, by nature, we are sinners. And that's why Jesus would go on to say in Matthew 7, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. And so total depravity teaches us that man's heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Jeremiah tells us that. The Bible tells us that we are born dead in our transgressions and our sin. The Bible teaches that because we are unregenerate or we're spiritually dead, that we are held captive, every single person that is born, by a love for sin. And because we love sin so much, we don't naturally seek God. And we don't seek God because we love darkness and we don't understand the things of God. You can read about these in Romans chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we suppress the truth of God in unrighteousness, Romans 1 tells us, and we live in sin. And because we are totally depraved, then that lifestyle seems right to men. Now, of course, the good news is that the Bible says that the moment we give our hearts and our lives to Jesus, when we trust Him as our Savior, by grace through faith, we repent, we turn to Him, that He brings us from spiritual death to spiritual life, that He takes us out of the category of totally depraved and depraved, and He says, we are a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away. All things have become new. so wonderfully. Yes, we are still sinners as believers. We still struggle. We still repent on a daily basis in terms of turning to the Lord. But the moment we're saved, we are forgiven of our sin wonderfully, once and for all. And now we continue to learn what it is to walk in righteousness, to walk in freedom, to be sanctified, to grow, to become more like Jesus. So that is something, as your question, the person that texted this in, it is something that Calvinists teach, in the total depravity. If you're familiar at all with Calvinist doctrine, they believe in something called tulip. And so the T in tulip is, and that's tulip is what's known as the 5 points of Calvinism. T is total depravity, and it's absolutely something that we who are not Calvinists, or we that maybe are not 5-point Calvinists, would still hold to, because the idea of total depravity is something that Scripture teaches, that we are incapable of saving ourselves. Therefore, God in His power and His righteousness for His glory and in His grace saved us while we were still sinners, the Bible says. Christ died for us. So hope that answered your question. Great question. I love being able to talk about God's forgiveness and God's grace. So thank you for texting that in. Let me go ahead and give out the text number again if you prefer anyone else to text us, 720-336-0897. 720-336-0897 is our text line. You can text whether it's questions or prayer requests there, but we would love to hear from you on the show. And Kevin and I talk about this a lot, our producer again, that sometimes these shows, because they're live, there's really no rhyme or reason why there'll be certain days that will be a bit slower. And so then you get to hear from the pastor that is currently hosting. So today that would be me, but we want to hear from you. That's the heart behind the show. So whether we go to the text line or go, or whether you prefer to call in and be live on the air, we want to be able to engage with you. So our number, 303-690-3000, 303-690-3000. Again, thank you to those of you that are the faithful listeners, not just to the Calvary Live radio show, but your local radio station. Of course, we're broadcasting here from Grace FM. Grace FM has two signals here in Colorado, 89.7 in Denver. Again, we are here in the studios in Aurora, Colorado, which is right outside of Denver. We've also got a signal in 101.7 in Colorado Springs, Colorado, of course. So Grace FM listeners, thank you. Church family from Calvary Church, thank you guys for tuning in. I hear from you so consistently and regularly that you guys are listening, oftentimes on the way home from work. So bless you guys. Of course, we want to shout out those of you that are listening on Hope FM, 21 different signals there in the New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland area. Again, I'm from Philly, so that's my hood. That's my home territory. And so thankful for Hope FM and Bill Lukeman and the team that is ministering there. Truth FM from Tennessee, North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina. Thank you guys for being a part of the Calvary Live family. Radio by Grace, again, as mentioned before, has 73 different signals all over the states, wonderfully. So we're thankful for Grace FM and thankful for those of you that are listening. Higher Rock Radio from Meridian. We thank you guys if you're listening there and would love to hear from you as well. Living Water Radio from Corpus Christi, Texas is one of our newer radio stations that's begun to carry Calvary Live. And then, of course, our most recent station, The Way Radio, coming to us from Kingman, Arizona, is our most recent radio station that's carried the show. So we want to welcome all of you listening on all of those stations. So thankful to you for being a part of the show. So thankful to you for being a part of what God is doing through these radio stations as well. So we're going to go ahead and take our first call, but let me, before I do, give out the number one more time, 303-690-3000. We'd love to hear from you, whether it's Bible questions, questions on theology, questions on Christian living, how we can help you in your walk with Jesus. But beyond that, we'd love to pray for you again. And you've got an army of people that are tuning in right now, listening all over. I just mentioned all the radio stations. So each one of those radio stations are brothers and sisters from all over the states and even beyond. We've got people listening outside of the states as well. And they will agree with our prayer, which I love, and come around you as you call in to ask us to pray. So again, that number, 303-690-3000, 303-690-3000. We're going to go here to Paul, calling from Plainview, Texas. Paul, how are you doing today?
Oh,
Hey, Paul, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, I had a question about whether there's this concept called dominion theology. Did Jesus ever teach that?
Yeah, great question. And so those of you that are curious about this, there is a theology out there called dominion theology. It goes under different names in different circles, of course, but it basically teaches that biblical Christianity will rule all areas of society, both personal and corporate. And it is what's called a post-millennial view, believing this, that the moral laws that you see in the Old Testament are binding still today, and that we are to preach the gospel, of course, to the whole entire world. Once that happens then, and once the world begins to become patterned after the Mosaic law, then God will usher in his kingdom and establish his kingdom. That's the very, very brief gist of it. Again, I believe Jesus certainly taught kingdom principles. As you begin to read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, there are things in there where he is teaching what it is to live in the kingdom of God, what that looks like as kingdom citizens. And Jesus tells us that he is coming to bring the kingdom, that he came to bring the kingdom. However, where we would separate from dominion theology is that we believe that because God's people rejected him and his offer for the kingdom, that the timetable was put on pause, as it were. And because it was put on pause now, we are now waiting. Jesus came for the first time. He was willing to usher in the kingdom, but was rejected. Therefore, Jesus says he hasn't instituted the kingdom and hasn't instituted then the ability for us to sort of somehow usher in the kingdom by going back to the Mosaic law and going back to the things that Jesus wanted. You know, again, the Bible says that he didn't come to destroy the law. That wasn't his intention, but to fulfill the law. So we're now in a period of time where we're waiting for the second advent of Jesus, the second return of Jesus. And then we believe that when Jesus returns, he's going to usher in a 1,000-year millennial reign. But the difference between dominion theology or post-millennial theology is that we believe, again, that his return is imminent. It could happen at any time. There are other distinctives that we would separate from dominion theology. Of course, we believe in a premillennial view of the kingdom of God, that Israel and the church are distinct all throughout biblical history. And so there's just a number of things that we don't necessarily believe that it is that God has commanded the church to take charge and to revamp society before he returns. He has called us to be salt and light. So there are principles that you will see that will overlap, that are true, that Jesus did teach, that Jesus did believe. But we are commanded, our primary objective is to preach the gospel, and then God intends to implement worldwide societal reform when he establishes the kingdom. Not that it is our job to do that. He will do that when he comes and sits on the throne. So again, these are theological systems that may sound confusing to some of you listening. But Paul, that's kind of where we as a church would stand regarding those things. Certainly there are principles when it comes to the kingdom of God that Jesus did teach, because he did talk about the kingdom of heaven. He did talk about the kingdom of God a lot. Matthew's a great book to sort of read through those things. But some of that, the ushering in of the kingdom was put on pause in terms of the prophetic timetable because he was rejected. And that's why now we are waiting for the second return of Jesus. He came, of course, the first time, which we celebrate at Christmas, and then we are now awaiting his second return. And so our mission then as a church is not to usher in the kingdom, but it's to wait for him as he decides to, you know, in his timetable to return. And it's our job to stay focused on preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth. So I hope that helped a little bit, Paul, with your question there. So I guess the fact that we lost Paul means amen or or not so much amen. But Paul, thank you, brother. Thank you. I think we just lost you there. But appreciate that. Hopefully that was helpful to you. Dominion theology is something that a number of popular churches, even some churches that create popular worship music, adhere to. And you'll even see some of that idea in the lyrics of some of those worship songs, certainly in the teaching of some of those churches. But I will say to those of you that are listening that are like, I don't even understand what that means. What is dominion theology? I would just say this. Our goal, again, as a church, is to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. People get saved wonderfully. Jesus reaches people all throughout the world. And then at some point, only he knows, no man knows the day or the hour, the church is going to be raptured. Then he's going to pour out judgment on the earth. Then after that 7 years of judgment, the tribulation period, Jesus is going to come again, and he's going to establish his kingdom on the earth. And so everything that we hear about the kingdom of God in terms of the physical manifestation, Jesus sitting on a throne, the lion laying down with the lamb, that kind of wonderful peace that's going to happen on the earth, no more war, no more bloodshed, that's going to happen, but it's going to happen when Jesus reigns on the earth for 1,000 years. We call that the millennial kingdom, millennium simply meaning 1,000 years. And so wonderfully, we're gonna be a part of that. But until then, we're waiting. We're waiting for Jesus to come back wonderfully. So again, thanks for the question, Paul. The number 303-690-3000. Give us a call. We'd love to take further questions and receive more prayer requests coming in. We see some text messages as well coming in. 303-690-3000 is the number. Give us a call or text us at 720-336-0897. 720-336-0897. Got a text message here. How do you align your spiritual walk with your spouse? And not bump heads or affect each other with personal struggles? Great question. And we could certainly talk about that for a length of time, but I will simply say this, and I'm not sure if this was the husband or the wife that texted this, but wonderfully, Jesus has given us some insight into how we grow together as husband and wife. He says first in Ephesians chapter 5, we submit to one another. We understand that we are equal, that God loves us both, that he saved us. And so as we submit to one another, then there are some roles that God has given us. These roles aren't that one is better or one is worse or that we're somehow not equal. They're God-given roles for the health of a marriage. And that would be that the man, the husband, would be the spiritual leader of the home. But he is submitting himself first and foremost to his head, which is Jesus. Paul would tell us in Ephesians chapter 5. So as the man is submitting to Jesus and meeting personally in his alone time with Jesus and reading the word and being filled with the Spirit and being filled with the love of God, then he in turn loves his wife as Christ loves the church. And as he is loving his wife in that way, which he can only do as he is receiving and being filled with that love from Jesus, then the wife gets the privilege of coming under that and saying, yes, like I would love to be loved the way that Jesus loves me from my husband. And I would love to grow with you. And I'd love to be led spiritually by you. And I get to submit to that. What a great joy to submit to that. It's not a great joy to submit to a husband that's mean-spirited or that's judgmental or that's harsh or that is hypocritical. It's a wonderful thing to be able to submit to a husband that is gracious and kind and gentle and willing to lead you to Jesus. So that's kind of the model that Jesus gives us. And then in terms of how we align together, it's true that a lot of times husbands and wives are in different places spiritually in terms of their walk with the Lord, but it requires patience. It requires an ability even to know that I can't be the Holy Spirit for my wife. She can't be the Holy Spirit for me. So if she sees things in me that needs to change, she'll certainly tell me. She'll address it. But she can't nag me or force me to change. That is only something the work of the Holy Spirit can do. Likewise, I can't nag her or force her to change other than I can encourage her. I can point her to the scriptures. We can talk through those things. But then there's a measure of just needing to be patient and letting the Holy Spirit do his work. But I would encourage you guys, you that texted in with this question, find a good devotional for married couples, or even if it's not a marriage devotional, just something that you guys can read through together. Because when the two of you are spending time with the Lord together, he does a work. He's the one that begins to align the two of you and bring you together. That is where, if you feel that you're bumping heads with one another because of your own personal struggles, he'll begin to work those things out in you. It's the process of sanctification. And the Bible says the Lord is patient. The Lord is long-suffering. And so, of course, I believe he wants us to be patient and long-suffering in our relationship with one another. Not just in marriage, but yes, especially in marriage, because marriage is meant to be a picture of our relationship with the Lord. So much more to talk about there. But again, encourage you, get into the Word together, be praying every single day. Even if you can't have a devotional every single day, make it a priority, either on the phone. If that's the way it works, you're leaving early in the morning, well, give your wife a call and pray together on the phone. Pray together before you go to bed at night. Pray for one another on your lunch break. Just make sure you guys are taking time every single day to pray with one another in the presence of Jesus. And wonderfully, he will begin to do a work there of aligning you and bringing you guys into unity and doing the wonderful work. Another prayer request coming in here. We are asking my husband and I for prayers of comfort and peace that surpasses all understanding for the difficult season, for the children, for the grandchildren, extended family. So amen to that. So thankful for you, and thank you for your kind words as well. I see that that it sounds like you're a part of what the Lord is doing either here at the church, Calvary Church, or a part of what he's doing through Grace FM and Calvary Live. But Lord, we just want to lift up our dear sister to you, her husband to you. Father, we pray that you would do what only you can do in their marriage, Lord. You know exactly what their needs are. You hear our prayers and our petitions. You work in miraculous and mighty ways, Lord, and you are good. So would you move in this family? Would you move in the marriage of this woman that is texted in for her husband and her, for her children and the grandchildren and all the extended family? Lord, what a wonderful Christmas gift from you it would be for there to be a revelation of your goodness and grace in this family in a new, fresh way. So Lord, we just pray that you would move in power, that you would reconcile what needs to be reconciled, that you would bring health and healing to this family, Lord, and that you would strengthen it, Lord, as they turn their eyes to you. Would you do a wonderful work, because you're a wonderful God, and we believe that with all of our hearts. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we are about ready to take our break here at the halfway point, but Ronnie from Fort Lauderdale, we're going to get to you. I see your question here about the book of Revelation and some of the books that were open, so we will get to that. But let me give out the number again. We've got a couple lines open, 303-690-3000. We're already at the halfway point in the show, but would love to hear from you. 303-690-3000, and give us a call if you've got Bible questions or if you have a prayer request, something that we can lift up on your behalf to the Lord, which, again, so wonderful to know brothers and sisters are tuning in right now that will pray with us as we pray for you. So don't carry it alone. The encouragement from the Lord is to cast your care on him, because he cares for you. You can certainly go and pray to the Lord. You don't need a pastor to do that for you, but you have a family here, and it would be my joy to be able to pray for you. 303-690-3000, and we'll be right back here after this break.
Welcome back to Calvary Live. Give us a call at 303-690-3000 or text us at 720-336-0897. Let's join Calvary Live right now.
All right, welcome back to Calvary Live, second half of the show today on this Friday, December 8th. Unless, of course, you're listening over on the East Coast, you're listening on a week delayed. But we want to encourage you guys to give us a call nonetheless. We've got all our lines full right now, which is wonderful. But let me give out the number again, because we will have the next half hour to, again, either pray with you or answer your calls. Our phone number, 303-690-3000. 303-690-3000, or you can give us a text if you'd prefer to do that. Whether you have a question or a prayer request, give us a call or a text either way regarding both of those. It'd be our joy to pray for you. Again, our text line, 720-336-0897. We're going to go here to Ronnie calling from Fort Lauderdale with a question. Hey, Ronnie, how you doing today?
I'm blessed, Pastor, and yourself?
Doing wonderful. Thank you. Thanks so much for calling.
Yes, sir. My question is, how many books are there?
How many books?
I've read in Revelation that there are books. And I was just wondering, is it a set number of books that they're talking about?
Great question. Yeah. Again, you know, Revelation chapter 12 speaks there of, I'll pull it up here. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book is open, which is called the Book of Life. So there we're told what book that is. Also, we read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, it says there, the books were opened. So the question, what are these books? How many books are there? What's the difference of the books? I will say, I know from just studying Revelation and having taught through it a couple times that Bible commentators differ on their opinions about these books that are really unnamed. We've got a couple books that are named. There are three types of books that we do see mentioned in the Word of God. We see, of course, the Book of Life, and that records the names of the righteous. And we see that in the book of Revelation. Early non-canonical Jewish or Christian literature will refer to what's called the Book of Deeds as well. And then the New Testament, of course, supports those two books, the Book of Life and the Book of Deeds. And Matthew Henry is the one that writes that these unnamed books that are opened are the books of God's omniscience, meaning that it includes there his record of our words and our deeds, and so that when those books are open, it's the record of the sinner's conscience that is now exposed. So in Revelation 20, for example, when it says there that the books were open, that is where unbelievers are going to stand before the great white throne. John notes that these books were open. Another book was open, which is the Book of Life, and the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. These books that we read of, we know that, as we mentioned earlier, those that reject Jesus and don't accept Jesus, he says, John chapter 12, that he's going to judge them in the last days. So we don't have a number of how many books there are. We do know from Scripture that we see the Book of Life, which is very clearly named. Then again, the Book of, so we could call it the Book of Deeds, but we get that again in Revelation 20, verse 12, where it says there that their deeds were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. There's also the Lamb's Book of Life, which is probably the same thing as the Book of Life. But we do know, ultimately, what Scripture does tell us. It doesn't tell us how many, but it does tell us that these books are important because one place in Revelation it says that if we're believers, our names will not be blotted out of the Book of Life, which is a wonderful promise of our security. However, at the same time, unbelievers, their books will be open, and it will record their words and their deeds, and they'll stand before the Lord at the great white throne. And when Jesus says, you know, again, why should I allow you to enter into glory? Because look at what the books have revealed about your sinful condition. They will have no plea at all we as believers won't be standing before the great white throne. So our plea is in the blood of Jesus, who's forgiven us. But unbelievers in that day, the book will be opened. They'll have no excuse. And that is unfortunately the moment where it says that they will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. So these books that we read of are important, and again, we don't have all the specifics to them other than we know there's the Lamb's Book of Life, and every believer is written in that. There is this Book of Deeds that all unbelievers are written in. Some would even say, again, that the Book of Deeds is specific to the judgment. But some of this is conjecture. And as I mentioned, you know, Bible commentators do differ in some on their opinion. So it is a fascinating study to look at. But you're rest assured that we've at least got those two books there, as you mentioned, from the book of Revelation.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Kelly.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much for giving us a call, too. And bless you guys in the beautiful state of Florida there in Fort Lauderdale. The weather there, I'm sure, is a little bit more beautiful than it is here in Colorado. But take every moment of it.
Yes, sir.
All right. God bless you guys today. Thank you for calling.
Yep.
All right. Wonderful. Let me give out the number again, 303-690-3000, 303-690-3000. We're going to move now to Kentucky, to Martin calling here. Hey, Martin, how you doing today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much, and thanks for calling.
I had a prayer request for my immediate family, and I've been divorced, and I'm going through a court case. It's a child custody case, and I'm trying to do both the right thing and both speak the truth at the same time. My stepson, I've got a prayer request for him because he doesn't believe in God, and he's going down a path that's very dark, and I need some help, prayer over him.
Absolutely.
And my fiance. And that's about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And how old is your stepson?
He is 14.
14. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's pray. Thank you for calling. Again, you've got not only me praying for you, but you've got a family of people that are praying for you as well. Wonderfully. So, Father God, we just thank you so much for Martin. We thank you, Lord, that he is looking, Lord, for us to come around him, to lift him up before you. And so we pray for Martin. We pray for his fiance. We pray for his stepson. Lord, at 14 years old, just going through so much at that stage of life and even beginning to establish his own faith in what he believes. And Lord, he's got Martin in his life now to point him to Jesus and to begin to lead him. And I don't know, Lord, whether his stepson's resistant to that or not, but I pray that you would open up his stepson's heart to want to be drawn closer to Jesus and that you would use Martin in his life. I know there's a lot of other things going on. There's Lord, of course, the court that Martin mentioned, the divorces, and he just asked for family in general, God. And you see all the details from the beginning to the end, Lord. And you know what is going on in his life, perhaps what the areas of Martin's life are that he needs to repent and to bring before you, Lord, that would bring some health and some healing as he has just a clear... No hindrances in terms of his fellowship with you, God. So reveal those things to him as you do to all of us, Lord. And then we just pray, God, that you would, again, strengthen him to lead well, Lord, to be a man of God in terms of his own personal walk with you, the time and the word that he has, the man of prayer that I know he desires to be, and that would just begin to infect, Lord, the rest of his family. And again, as we mentioned before, we can't do the work of changing people's hearts, but you can. You even say all the issues of our heart flow from our lives. And you even say, Lord, that what we speak is reflective of what comes from our hearts. So you're the one that can get to the root of our lives and minister and heal there. And so I just pray, God, that you would do that in Martin's family. Bring those that don't know you, that haven't been saved, to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And those that are, Lord, that are believers, we just pray, God, that you'd strengthen them, encourage them, bring them to maturity, Lord. Help them to love Jesus more than they ever have before. And use Martin in that whole process, Lord, even as he is growing and even as you're doing a work in his heart and his life as well. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your long-suffering. Thank you for your grace in our lives. And we pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome, Martin. Thanks so much for calling, brother. God bless you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Again, our number, 303-690-3000. I appreciate you guys calling in and texting in, 303-690-3000. If you've got a prayer request or a Bible question, please give us a call. Certainly, we can not only take your calls live on the air, but we can also take your texts as well. So the text line, 720-336-0897, is also available to you, 720-336-0897. We're going to go back again to Fort Lauderdale. Lisa, we just got off the phone with someone from Fort Lauderdale, and our producer texted me, it's 75 degrees there in Fort Lauderdale. So I'm trying not to be jealous because it's snowing here. So maybe I need you to pray for me, but wonderful to hear from you. Thanks for calling, Lisa.
Thank you. The reason why I'm calling is because I want to put in a prayer request. I have been going through some major financial difficulties, not only with housing, the job is not looking good, and I'm behind on every bill there is. I also want a prayer request for God to touch my daughter's heart, because we have had an estranged relationship ever since the divorce.
Okay. And how old is your daughter?
She is 32.
32, okay. Absolutely. You know, I just want to share something with you. Financial difficulties is just it's a hard trial for anybody to walk through. I think we feel that even more in months like this, Christmas and the holidays, and when you're behind on bills. But there was a promise that the Lord gave me, and maybe this will be an encouragement to you. And then, of course, we'll pray with one another. But this is from Hebrews chapter 13. It's verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. And the author there says, let your conduct or let your life be without covetousness. He says, be content with such things as you have. And the reason he says that, because it sounds like that's such a challenge when we're supposed to live in a way that we're not covetous and we're content. But the reason he says we can do that, he says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then he goes on to say, because of that, we can have a life that's content. We can live without covetousness because he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Then he says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And I've even said, so what can these bills do to me? The Lord is going to be my helper. I don't need to fear. It's not God's desire for me to live a life of fear. And trials, particularly financial difficulties, bills stacking up, certainly can bring anxiety and fear into our life. But I just love that promise that he says we can live a life knowing we're never going to be left by the Lord. We're never going to be forsaken. On top of that, he's our helper. So he cares, I believe, about the phone bill and the gas bill and the water bill and the credit card bill. Like, I believe he cares about those things, and he's our helper, and it's his desire to come alongside you in the season of your life. And what's wonderful is beyond just the bills themselves, God does something deeper in our hearts in these moments of financial difficulty. And then, of course, beyond that, you've got, you know, your daughter that you're praying for as well. So I do think the Lord wants to minister to you in this season, and I would say not only despite the difficulties, but he wants to use these things to allow you to draw close to him. And so, Father, I just want to pray, Lord, for my dear sister, Lisa, and just pray that you would take those words, just that reminder again, Lord, that you're never going to leave her, Lord. She's not alone. As she feels the weight of all of this, the finances, the debt, Lord, you're not going to forsake her. You haven't brought her this far just to leave her. God, you do care whether we got ourselves in a financial mess or whether it was inflicted upon us, whether it's just the world we're living in now with inflation and not making enough money. Lord, you see all of that, and you're able, Lord, to provide. You can work there. But what's more important, Lord, is you just want us to know your presence with us in the midst of that, Lord, that we're not alone, Lord. You're not distant from us. And so we may boldly say that you, in fact, are our helper. And what we need when we're lacking, and what we need in any kind of a trial, is help, Lord. That's what we need. And that's what we do when we come to you. We ask for help. I think of Peter, who is walking on the water towards Jesus, and he begins to drown and sink. And his word is help. And in these deep trials that we walk through, Lord, sometimes that's all we can pray in that moment is help. But you say, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So strengthen Lisa with that promise today. I pray that that would just bring her a measure of peace. We also want to pray for her daughter, Lord, and their relationship, that with the stress and the history, Lord, there, the divorce, those things, Lord, that Lisa mentioned, God, those things, again, are not beyond you to restore. And to your word says that you bring things that were dead to life, or things that were in darkness. Lord, you brought us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so I pray, Lord, that you would do that restorative work in her relationship with her daughter, that there would be forgiveness asked where it needs to be, and then forgiveness received. And certainly, Lord, beyond that, that you would build on the foundation, Lord, and allow there to be a healing in that relationship as well, Lord. Thank you, God, that, you know, I think about this a lot. We can look at our lives and think, man, I did such a good job at messing so much up, and I'm so good at breaking things. But the good news is not about me at all. The good news is you're the one that comes and heals things. You're the one that comes and fixes the things that we were broken. So much so that you say you draw close to us when we are broken hearted, Lord. So minister to Lisa, in addition to all the others, Lord, that are out there that are currently struggling right now, Lord, with their finances or in their relationships with their children. We just heard again from our brother in Fort Lauderdale, also praying for a relationship with his family as well. So again, Lord, we just want to put these things before you, trusting you, Lord, with this. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right, Lisa. Thank you so much for calling. And again, we're available. If you want us to continue to pray for you, please give us a call back again in the future, and we're here for you.
I wish everybody happy holidays, and God bless everyone.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate you. All right. Again, our number, we've got a line open here, 303-690-3000, 303-690-3000. Again, if you have a Bible question or something that you would like to have prayer over, we'd be happy to do that with you. And we've got a few minutes left of the show, so we're going to go ahead and take some more calls. But again, that number, 303-690-3000. We'll see if we can get you in on the show today. We're going to go now to Wheat Ridge. And it sounds like this is Joseph on the line. Hey, Joseph.
Good to hear voice, Pastor Sorensen.
Hey, thank you, man. Appreciate it. How you doing today?
Doing well. So I believe on Tuesday, Pastor Figgs, you know, a very nice 10-year-old child asked Pastor Figgs simply, does God hate Satan? And, you know, Pastor Figgs basically said, I don't know, but he said, you know, God is love. And, you know, he spoke to the child as, you know, as you would speak to a child.
Yeah.
But it just so happened the next day, I heard a sermon by Pastor Dr. Vernon McGee, and he preached on Proverbs chapter 16, verses 6 through 7, the seven things that God hates.
Yes.
And all those things describe Satan to a T. So my question is, do God's angels in heaven, do they love God and Jesus the Christ, and does Jesus the Christ or God love his angels? Because they're servants. They're not like us who's saved by grace and salvation, you know, for John 3:16. So God so loved the world, so we love him back because he showed us what love is. But does God angels love him, and does he love them? What's the relationship like?
Yeah, great question. I don't think that angels love God the way that we do. And the reason I say that is because it tells us, for example, in Hebrews chapter 1, I believe, that the angels are longing to look into this idea that God himself would condescend, come down to earth as a man, becoming one of us, to forgive us of our sin. He would do that because we were so reckless and so sinful, and he died on the cross for our sin, humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross, it tells us in Philippians 2. And then he rose again from the dead. And so the angels are looking at that going, they're longing to look into these things. It's a mystery to them. They can't fully comprehend and understand it, but angels are not redeemed in the way that we are. Jesus didn't shed his blood for the angels. He shed his blood for sinful human people, mankind, that would put their faith and trust in Jesus. So I do believe there's a measure and a depth of love that we have as his children. Again, we are called the sons and daughters of God. We've been adopted into his family. Angels haven't experienced all the spiritual blessings that we've been given in Christ. So I believe that there's a measure of love that far outweighs something that the angels, the kind of a relationship the angels could have with the Lord. But we do know the angels, they do God's work. So they obviously have a measure of respect or love for him. They're used to Bible tells us to protect believers. They're used to carry messages to humankind. They praise God, so we do know that they worship him. They intercede for him. They're described as mighty beings, that they do his bidding. They obey his word, it says in Psalm 103, verse 20. So God is perfect, and we know that. And we can assume then that the angels that are in heaven, they're called holy angels for a reason, that they are dwelling in his presence where there is no sin. So it doesn't explicitly say that the angels love God, but I do believe that whether we call it love, it does explicitly say that they worship him, that they praise him, that they obey him. They do all of the things that express love. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. You'll keep my commandments. And they obey him, and they are worshiping and praising him, and they're standing in his glory. So maybe that we need to define the word love a little bit more, but we love, the Bible says, because he first loved us and gave himself for us. So the way that we would love him is far outweighs, I believe, the way that the angels love him, particularly because they're so caught off guard, as it were, with the great love that God has for us, that they're looking into this, just amazed at the love of the Father for us as his children.
Well, another quick question. So we are Christ's bride, and, you know, the Bible says male, female, two genders. So do angels have genders?
No, angels don't have genders. The word in the Greek for angels, and even as we read it in the Hebrew, doesn't ascribe a gender to it. At any time we see an angel appear in a form, they appear in the male form. The language does indicate that, but angels in themselves are not gendered the way that we think of gender today, male and female, which is how God created us, right? He created us male and female, it says in Genesis chapter 2. So angels don't have that ascribed to them.
Okay. Thank you very much, Pastor Sorensen. Thanks.
Man, you're so welcome. Great questions. Thanks for, just appreciate you thinking through these things and trusting the Lord to continue to give you wisdom as you keep seeking him and his word.
Have a Merry Christmas and a blessed 2024.
Thank you. You too. God bless you. Yeah, can't believe it. We're already coming up on 2024. That's unbelievable to me. Unbelievable to me. All right, we're going to go here now to Patricia from Littleton, Colorado. Patricia, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing good so okay. Far. I'm trying to stay warm.
Yeah, I understand it. I hear it's about ready to snow here, so we're right there with you.
Right. I have a question. I mean, I really don't know how to pose the question, but it's regarding like spiritual warfare in families.
Yes.
Or like lifestyle. I have a family that right now we're praying. The lady is on life support, and we're praying for her to come out of it. But it just seems that this family has so many tragedies. I mean, people getting hit and run and then coming out with brain damage and another person being shot at a liquor store, and I mean, just lifestyle, a lot of drugs, a lot of, and it just seems that this is a cluster of horrible, tragic things that happened to this family. And it's like, and nobody seems to be able to get away from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just wonder if it's like, if I don't want to say demon possession, because I don't think there's any of them that are demon possessed, but you know, I don't know. I don't have an answer, but it's, you know, it breaks our hearts, you know, and like, it's horrible. It's just, and I just, you know, want to know if that is a possibility or
and are these,
could be an explanation for
is this family, are they believers or are they unbelievers? You may have mentioned that. I'm sorry if you did.
Well, you know what? I don't know whether they're believers. I know the girl that is on life support right now, she knows God, but I hate to put out a religion, but if they were believers, they would be Catholic.
Okay, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we certainly want to, just anyone listening, pray for her as she's on life support right now. Certainly that's something, if we get a moment at the end of the show here, to do that. But, you know, spiritual warfare is very, very real, certainly. The Bible talks about, it mentions what's called generational curses. And God warns there in the Old Testament that he punishes the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. What he's really saying, there's more to it than just the fact that he's punishing children for the sins of their fathers. The effects of sin are passed down from one generation to the next. So when a father, for example, has a sinful lifestyle, then his children are likely to practice the same sinful lifestyle. And if the children choose to repent, there's no kind of demon possession or no kind of generational curses or anything of the sort on believers, because the answer for someone that's worried about a generational curse in their family is salvation through Jesus Christ. A Christian is a new creation. A child of God can't be underneath God's curse. The cure for anything that we would call a generational curse is repentance from sin, faith in Christ. Wonderful. But for those that don't know the Lord, there can be strongholds in a particular family. And so you do see that. You do see that. That's why it's so wonderful when somebody that has come from generations of trauma, generations of difficulty, some people caught up in all kinds of witchcraft and darkness for generations behind them, there certainly can be demonic activity. There certainly can be demonic even possession in the life of an unbeliever. And just as you mentioned, just these odd things that keep happening, certainly if people are opening themselves up to darkness, opening themselves up to the enemy, that is true. That's real. That can happen. Not for a believer, but for an unbeliever. Because again, the effects of sin are just being passed down from generation to generation. However, the good news is that Jesus, or God's word tells us, Ezekiel 18 and Jeremiah 31, for anyone else that's listening, that as a believer, no child is going to suffer any kind of punishment from the sin of their father. The only kind of response is going to come from their own sinful acts. And so just want to make that clear for anyone else that's listening. But again, let's pray for this family. We're running out of time, unfortunately. I'm seeing we got 20 seconds left. But appreciate you calling, Patricia. And if you have further questions, give us a call. We certainly could follow up more on some of that with you. For the rest of you guys, again, Merry Christmas. Thanks so much for listening to Calvary Live. God bless you. We'll see you on Monday.
You've been listening to Calvary Live. Tune in next time for prayer and God's Word.